Well, today we are kicking off a series entitled, I Am Going. How many of you like to hear how a story began? I mean, how something all kind of got started. Anybody like that? You just like to hear some things about the beginning? I was thinking about some of this earlier this week, and I asked Dave, I said, Dave, how did you and Teresa get started? I mean, you guys have been there together for a long time. How did you guys get started? And he began to go ahead and tell me how they went to school together, and they were sweethearts for forever. And he finally got up the nerve to ask her out, and they went out on a date. And then As that date came to a close, he said, I just finally got the courage to go ahead and ask if I could kiss her goodnight. And he said, to my surprise, she went ahead and said, well, yeah, that's fine. He said, I got really excited, and I overshot, and I kissed her on the forehead. And she said, a little lower, please. So he said, could I go ahead and kiss you goodnight? And that's kind of how they got started on their journey. When you stop and think about how we get started, some of us get started and we get into things that we're not even certain how we got there because it wasn't intentional. But sometimes we get into something and we remember how we got there because it was very intentional. We look at this place called Harmony. We got started 28 years ago because we wanted to be intentional about loving people and accepting them where they are. We wanted to be a place where people could come and experience not only faith, hope, and love, but they could experience forgiveness. They could experience the reality of who Jesus is and what Jesus is really all about. Well, today, 28 years later, we've held to that message. We started off with just a handful of families, literally just a handful of people, a couple of handfuls of people, and God has blessed over the years and done some absolutely incredible things. And we come together on a day and we say, okay, what now? Well, the reality is this. 28 years ago, we said, I am going. We said, we are going. And we said, we're going to stick true to the message, and we're going with the message of Jesus Christ. And today, it's no different. We say, I am going, and I am going with Jesus. You know, when we begin to look at the early days of the church, not our church, but the church, we began to go ahead and look at over 2,000 years ago. The church was young and just getting started. The church was trying to find its way and to find its legs, so to speak. And there was 11 followers of Christ, and others had begun to follow, but 11 people heard a message. 11 men heard a message from Jesus, and Jesus gave them a message. And here's what they did. They went back and they gathered, and just with 11 people and then some others that would wait and anticipate to see what Jesus was going to do, they gathered. And in one day, that group of 11 grew from just a small number to 3,000. And they tell us within just 300 years, there were nearly 30 million changed lives as a result of the gospel of Jesus Christ and who he is. Think about that. 11 to 3,000, a few hundred years later, millions have been changed. And what changed their life? Was it good people? Was it people that had all the right answers? No, what changed their life was the same thing that still changes lives today, and it's the message and the person of Jesus. So today, that's just what we want to talk about. We don't just want to celebrate what Harmony has done in 28 years. We want to celebrate who Jesus is and what Jesus has done and what Jesus wants to continue to do in this place that we call Harmony. In Matthew chapter 28, we discover a message from Jesus that's bare bones. It's real simple, but it's what Jesus wants us to do, and it's what Jesus wants us to be. So we're just going to take a look and jump in at this passage of Scripture that comes from Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. We often know it as what we call the Great Commission. But here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19. He says, or Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes ahead and says this, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. When we begin to go ahead and take a look at that message, Jesus says, look, I want you guys that have followed me, I want you to go ahead and listen to me, and I just want you to go and tell people who I am. And he says, here's the good news. I'm not expecting you to do that on your own. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. You know, back when Harmony was getting started 28 years ago, Back just before the founding pastor was called and all the things were being put together, people didn't have all the answers, and they knew they didn't have all the answers, but they knew they had one thing, and that was the message of Jesus, and they believed that people needed it. And I believe that people need the message of Jesus now probably more than ever. We begin to go ahead and look at our society, and we begin to look at the chaos that unfolds. We have officers that are shot in the line of duty, and it seems like it's almost a regular occurrence at this point in time, and it hit real close to home earlier this week and the latter part of last week. And you begin to look, and you begin to see it unfold, and we look at the screens of our TV or our phone or the computer, and it's streaming across the internet, and it seems like that evil is reigning and running rampant in lives all across the world. What is the hope of that? What can go ahead and change that? There's one thing, there's one message, there's one person and that message is Jesus. You see, in the day in which Jesus is giving his message, guess what? It was an evil day. In the day when Jesus gathered his disciples together and said, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to take a message. I want you to tell them about me, and I want you to teach them to observe all things. And he says, I want you to remember I'm going to be with you. Do you know why Jesus said, I want you to remember I'm going to be with you? Because Jesus understood that it was going to be tough. Jesus understood that it wasn't going to be easy. Jesus understood that evil is always going to fight, and evil is always going to try and rear its head. But we must know and believe that the message of Jesus is going to triumph over that in his time. Well, when we look at where we're at and we look at where Jesus was and we look at the needs of our culture and our society and our community today, we're reminded that there's something that's still true on that day that is true today. In verse number 18, the Bible says this, and then Jesus came unto them and he spoke. Do you know what happened when Jesus spoke? People listened. Over and over and over, when Jesus shows up on the scene and begins to speak, do you know what people do? People just begin to lean in. And people begin to lean in and listen to Jesus, and they walk away, and here's what they say. They say, he spoke as one that had authority. He spoke as one that had a different message. We've never heard it like this before. Why? Because Jesus was speaking into their life. Jesus was giving them something that they desperately needed. And do you know what? People still need it today. So when I think about Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, where the Bible says this, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. One of the things that I think about before we go any further is this. We need to listen to the message. We need to listen to the message, because that's what the disciples did. Jesus came and spoke, and Jesus said, listen, I need you to hear me. He spoke saying, and here's what happened. Andrew and Simon and Peter and James and John and Matthew, you know what they did? They leaned in and they said, okay, what's he going to say? And here's what Jesus said. Jesus says, I want you to understand that I have authority. I have authority to tell you what I'm getting ready to tell you. He says, I have the right to go ahead and say what I'm getting ready to say. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. He said, this authority flows from God, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm sharing this truth with you. Can I tell you something? To this day, when people hear something about Jesus, when they think they hear the voice of Jesus speaking, do you know what they do? They listen. They listen. Why? Because it's different. Why? Because it meets a need. Just a few weeks ago, in the midst of all the media craze about the shootings and the different things that had taken place, Billy Graham walked through the gates of heaven, and he entered that city, and immediately you saw a shift. And people that would make fun of Christianity and people that would go ahead and poke and laugh at it all of a sudden began to go ahead and focus in on this man that was used by God to change lives. And do you know what Billy Graham said he would do more of if he had to do over again? He would tell more people about Jesus. He himself would get to know Jesus just a little bit better. Why? Because Jesus is the one that can change lives. And Jesus, if you're a believer Jesus is the one that gives us not only authority to go and tell other people, but he gives us the responsibility. So do you know why Jesus came to them and spoke? And he said, look, all authority is given to me. He said, it's given to me in heaven and in earth, because he was getting ready to give them some responsibility. And today, as we stand here and we celebrate our past and we look to the future, Jesus is telling us to listen because we still have some responsibility. Jesus is telling us to listen because the job's not done. There are still people in our community, the place that you live, the place that I live, people that we work with, people that we rub shoulders with, people that we go to ball games with, people that we go to school with. And what do they need? They need to hear the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to his disciples, his closest followers, he said, look, I need you to go ahead and I need you to listen. I just need you to go ahead and come close and listen. You see, his authority flowed from God. His authority comes from him and his word. So what does he tell him? He says, I need you to go. This is what he says. Jesus says, I need you to listen to the message. He says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, or even unto the end of the age, even until this thing appears to be over. I am with you. He said, I need you to listen. But then he said this, I need you to go. If there's something that we need today, is this. We need to listen to the message, but we need to go with the message. You see, as a church, on day one, we said, we need to go with the message. And what was the message? The message was Jesus Christ. The message was Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. And the message hasn't changed. Today, we need to go with the message. Verse number 19, he says, go ye therefore. Some translations just say go. Other translations say this, as you're going. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, look, as you're going throughout your life, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go ahead and tell other people about me. What is this going with the message? He says, as you are going. That means this, the people around you, the people in your neighborhood, the people in your home, the people in your workplace, the people in your school. He says, the people that you're familiar with, here's what I need you to do. As you are going, I need you to make your life about me, and I need the message that flows from your life to go ahead and be about me. And the reason I need that is because the people that you're around need that. Do we often forget that the people that we're around truly need the message and the hope of Jesus? We can win them over, and we can try and be their friend, and we can try and get them to like us, but more than liking us, do you know what they need? They need Jesus. That they need the hope of Jesus. They need the central message of Jesus Christ and him crucified and what he did on the cross for their life and for my life and for your life. You see, Jesus just took something that was real simple, and he says, as you're going, it's something that had always happened. Do you realize that it all started with just as you're going? In John chapter 1, here's what happens. Andrew's out minding his own business. They come across someone, and they find out it's the Messiah. So Andrew goes home and he tells his brother Simon Peter, and he says, Simon Peter, you've got to come and see, because we found the Messiah, the one that's the Christ, the one that has come to make the difference. We found him. Would you come and see? So Andrew and Simon Peter, they go and they find him, and lives are changed. Not long after that, Philip comes and he meets Jesus. And what does Philip do? Philip goes out and he finds a guy by the name of Nathanael, and he says, Nathanael, come and see. This is the guy that's going to change the world. This is our Savior. I want you to go ahead and I want you to come. Do you know Andrew had one response? He just said, Peter, I think we found the Messiah. Come and see. Philip says, Nathanael, come and see. Plain as day, that's exactly what Philip says. Come and see. How many people in your life and in my life need us to say, come and see? Come and see who Jesus is. Come and see what he's about. You see, Jesus invited them to come and see as well. They asked him, they said, Jesus, where do you live? And you know what he said? He said, why don't you come and see? So they went to see Jesus, and they spent time with Jesus. And after they spent time with Jesus, and after they got to know Jesus a little bit, do you know what Jesus told them then? Jesus said, go and live. He said, now that you know who I am, now that you've got things worked out, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go and live. I need you to go and share. I need you to go and tell other people about who I am. You see, when we look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 19, when he says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. What Jesus was saying is this: I need you to go and make disciples that will help other people come and know who I am. And then they will help other people come and know who I am. He was saying, I need you to go make disciples who will make disciples. Do you know what our mission as a church is? From day one till now, it's this: growing passionate followers of Christ that love God and that love people. A passionate follower of Christ that loves God and loves people is going to do one thing. We're going to go ahead and love people and introduce them to Jesus, because we believe that Jesus is the answer, and we're going to help them become what Jesus wants them to become, and then we're going to go ahead and help them get somebody else to Jesus as well. It's about making disciples that make disciples. If there's one urgent need in our culture today, if there's one urgent need within our church today, it's people who know Jesus that will help other people know Jesus and help them become followers of Jesus. You know what happens? It's easy to drift from that message. It's real easy to drift from that message. Do you know, I've never drifted from the truth of Jesus Christ in my preaching and teaching. I've always held to the Bible. I believe that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. I believe that it's infallible. I believe that it has every answer for your life and for my life. I believe that it has the answers for the hope of the world. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. I believe that Jesus established it because he wants to go ahead and he wanted to create a movement that literally would turn the world upside down, and it did. But do you know that in my life and in your life and in any church, it's easy to drift from making disciples? Do you know why? Because Jesus said, as you are going, as you're in your life, I want you to tell other people about me. As you're going day in and day out, I want you to introduce me to other people. Do you know what happens? We get busy with work. We got that extra project. We got to get to the kids' ball game. We've got some extra things that we got to take care of around the house. We get that promotion. We go ahead and take on the extra. And then all of a sudden, all the busyness of life begins to go ahead and to cause us to drift. It's not that we've thrown away the truth. It's not that we've walked away from the truth. It's this. Now we're holding it in a different place in our life. What was out in front of us now becomes secondary. And how quickly that can happen in my life, and how quickly that can happen in your life. And isn't it an amazing thing that oftentimes we drift from the message of disciples making disciples? We drift from sharing the truth of who Jesus is in our daily life. We drift from telling people that Jesus is really the answer because we're busy with everything else. You see, Jesus said, look, as you're going, I need you to keep me at the center. Do you know Jesus needs to be at the center of our church and all that we do? We've got values, but if we don't remember them, we'll drift. Our values, we believe that the Bible, biblical authority, the scriptures, we believe that is our authority, and we look to the Word of God. We believe in a culture of prayer because we pray with people and for people, because we believe that prayer changes things. We believe that since day one. We believe in community. That's just real relationships. We want people to be able to come in that are hurting and find hope through relationships. That's one of our values. We believe in serving, using our life to make a difference in the lives of others, in the church and in the community. We believe in that. We believe in generosity. Why? Because Jesus was generous. God is a giving God. We believe in generosity, and that's a value. But you know, one of the things that we also believe and value that we need to value more, that's sharing our faith. That's telling other people about Jesus and who he is. Why? Because he's the hope of the world. I've told you this before. I've shared it on multiple occasions. People say, what's the vision? I could go ahead and give you numbers that I pray about, but you know what? I don't want to go ahead and just make a task about numbers. Do you know what we really need to have as a vision? We truly just need to say, okay, we're people who believe in Jesus, and we're helping other people believe in Jesus. And if each one of us just commit to reach one, and then we commit to reach another one, and we teach them to go ahead and reach one, and we teach them to reach another one, the thing just keeps going. That was the strategy of Jesus. That was the strategy of the early church. And that needs to be a strategy in our life today. Just to say, okay, here's what it is. I'm one person. I can't reach the world by myself, but I can reach one that's next to me. And when I reach that one, I'll go ahead and reach another one. And when I reach another one, I'll go ahead and reach another one. And we're just going to keep reaching one more. What would happen in our life if we begin to go ahead and just look at that and make that simple task our ultimate challenge? It's 45,000 residents plus in Washington Township. I thought that number seemed a little high because I grew up in Avon. You see, I remember the day when 36 was a two-lane road, and I remember that where you turn in to come to this place, there wasn't anything to turn into except the Hilltop Fruit Market. All right, if you go back that far in this community, some of you remember that was it, and that was seasonal at best. I grew up in the day where we had a Dairy Queen that forgive me for saying this, but it was a huge disappointment in my life because it didn't have regular hours. You would go by and you wanted to stop in, and they had just decided, wow, we're going home early today. And you'd pull in and think, you're getting ice cream. And I'm going to tell you something, when you're a kid and you think you're getting ice cream and there's only one place in the entire area to get ice cream and it's closed, you're disappointed. Because my mom did not say, well, we can go to the grocery store and buy some. My mom said, they'll be open again soon. I remember when there wasn't much here, and many of you do as well. There's more than 150,000 residents in our county. You say, John, why are you telling us some of these things? I'm just throwing some things out there to tell us to whom much is given, much is required. I'll never forget the statement that Jonathan Falwell made when we were pulling into our property when he came for the dedication. He came to go ahead and lead a time and to challenge us. And he said, you know, John, I remember when we built our new facility at Thomas Road and we were getting ready to go in, he said, I told my dad, man, I'm glad because now we can scale back some things and we can go ahead and put it all on one focus. And he said, Jonathan, I want you to remember, we didn't build this place for those who are already here. We built this place for those who are yet to come, and don't ever forget that. And he said, there's going to be a temptation for you and your people to think, okay, the heavy work is done, and it's over, and God's blessed, and you got some things taken care of, and it's comfortably full. But he said, you didn't build it for those who are already here. You build it for those who are yet to come. And when they get here, you build it for more who have yet to come. Why? Because to whom much is given, much is required. You see, when Jesus spoke, the disciples listened. And today I hope that we're listening, because on day one, we had a deep desire to go and make disciples. Why? Because that's what Jesus told us to do. Well, the message of Jesus hasn't changed, so we need to listen to the message, and then we need to go with the message. To whom much is given, much is required. Our community has grown. Our congregation has grown, but we need to continue to grow. So what else did Jesus say? Jesus said, be the message. He said, I want you to go ahead and listen to what I'm getting ready to say. And he said, we need to go with the message. But Jesus said, here's the reality. We need to go ahead and not just go with the message. We need to be the message. He said, teaching them to observe all things. He said, teach them about who I am. The death, the burial, the resurrection. I need you to teach them that. But he says, I need you to be the message. What does he mean? He says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Do you know, for the past several weeks, we've talked about this kind of concept in another passage of scripture, and I want us to really get it. Jesus says, I want you to go, I want you to make, I want you to teach, and I want you to teach them to observe. But the way you teach them to observe is to make sure that you have observed. What does the word observe mean? It means to apply. And you know what some of us want to go ahead and do? We want other people to follow hard after Jesus, but maybe we're not following that hard after Jesus ourselves. And when it comes to going ahead and making a difference with our friends and our family, do you know what we need to do? We need to be making a disciple that's following Jesus, and they can see that we're following Jesus. I guess what I would just like to say this morning is this. We need to go ahead and be the message that Jesus was talking about. We need to be a follower of Christ that has a life that's patterned after him. That's what we need to be. We need to be telling people about this one that died for them, that loves them, that they can give their heart and life to, and we need to be that message. We need to be the one that loves. We need to be the one that forgives. We need to be the one that shares. We need to be the one that encourages. We need to be the one that offers hope. We need to be the one that points them to Jesus. You see, Jesus said we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. We're to love our neighbor as ourself. That was the great commandment. But then Jesus gave the great commission. Do you know what it takes to carry out the great commission? A love for God. With all our heart, with all our soul. Because when we love God with all that we are, we'll love our neighbor. And when we love our neighbor, do you know what we want to do? We want to tell them about Jesus. You see, when we believe that somebody that doesn't know Jesus isn't going to ever get to see Jesus in eternity, then that takes on a new perspective. We begin to see them in a different light, and we begin to see their need in a different way. Jesus said, be the message. It's really impossible for us to teach and demonstrate what we don't practice, what we don't live. Jesus said, I need you to do that. I need you to listen. I need you to go with the message. Just as you're going throughout life, you don't have to go to the mission field. You don't have to go across the street and try and start there. Just start right where you're at. Right where you are. As you're going, that's where we need to share the message of Jesus. Just a little bit ago, our ushers passed out a card. That card has a list of names on it. Or a list of times and details. It says that we would go ahead and pray for one person for 1 minute at 1 o'clock for 1 month. There's places where you can go ahead and write some names down. I'd like for you to write some names down. I'd like for you to think about a neighbor. I'd like for you to think about a family member, a coworker, a friend, somebody that you know that might need Jesus, that might need a church home. And every day, for 1 minute, 1 o'clock, for that one person, for 1 month, pray for them. Just pray for them. Pray that God would give you an opportunity to reach them. Pray that God would give you an opportunity to be able to share who he is. Somebody says, I can't do that. I want to tell you something. That's why Jesus gave us this last thing. We wrap it all up. We've got to rely on the message. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I want you to go ahead and listen to me. I want you to go with the message. I want you to go with the truth. We don't have to go to seminary. We don't have to go ahead and break all of it down. We need to just be able to tell people, hey, I want you to know that God loves you and he's got a plan for your life. And part of that plan is for you to come and know him as your Savior. Jesus died for you. And if they got a bunch of questions beyond that, you can go ahead and bring them to somebody that can answer some of those questions. It's our responsibility to go and tell. But then he said, look, some of you are going to think you can't do this on your own, and I'm not sending you on your own. He said, I will be with you always. Well, what does it mean to rely on the message? To rely on the message, it means that number one, Jesus is the message. You don't have to invent the message. You don't have to invent the story. Jesus is the message. He's already done it. Jesus said, I'm speaking to you with authority, so we're operating under his instruction. But then Jesus said, look, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you the presence. I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to give you the words to say. He said, I will be with you. You're not alone. He doesn't expect you to go out and change the world by yourself, but he does give us the ability in his presence and his power to help change the world that we live in, the people that we're connected to, the people that we know, the people that we're surrounded by that need Jesus. And today, ultimately, we come together to celebrate what God has done, and over the years, God has blessed. Over the past year, we've increased by more than 50, and we're thankful for that. We saw many baptized, and we saw many different things, and we were able to partner with other organizations that we've not partnered with before and make differences. But do you know what we need to be doing more of? We need to be reaching more people for Jesus and being disciples that make disciples. Followers of Christ that help other people become followers of Christ. And today, as we start off and we look at where we've been, Jesus said, I'm asking you, would you go? Would you go with this message? Over 2,000 years ago, that group of 11 said, I'm going. And the message is going to be with Jesus. And today, we need to be going with Jesus. The question is this, will we leave this place today and just say, I'm going with Jesus. I'm going to keep Jesus at the center of my life. I'm going to go ahead and make my life about him so other people can know him. Because ultimately, that's why we're here. That's why we're here as Christians. That's why we're here as a church, so that we can help other people know him. And today, I would encourage you, let's not get comfortable with 28 years. Let's get uncomfortable and say, you know what? There's a lot of people out there that I know that need Jesus. And let's go out and tell them who Jesus is, because Jesus died for them just like he died for you. And we need to be going with Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? In just a moment, we're going to have a time where we can come and pray. If you've got something in your life that God's speaking to you about, maybe you want to come and pray for, you'll have the opportunity to do that. Maybe you're here today. You would say, John, you talked about Jesus and talked about knowing him, and I'm not certain that I do know him, but I'd like to know more about him. Then maybe today's a day that you come and someone takes the Bible and shows you how you can know more about who he is and what he has for your life. Maybe you want to come and pray for a friend or family member that you know needs Jesus, needs that truth. Maybe you just want to come and thank God for what he's doing in your heart and in your life. Or maybe you've got something that's tugging at your heart you just want to pray about today. Whatever your need might be, I just want to encourage you to respond to him. Would you stand with me, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed?